All right. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. How are you all doing today? Good. Is everyone good? All right. I like the thumbs up. Good to see you all. Well, we are continuing in our series entitled Choose Joy. We're almost done with Philippians. We're in chapter 4. We'll be looking at verses 10 through 20 today. And as we get started, I also want to make a quick announcement. There's four tables in the back. The two middle ones in the back, if anyone wants to use a table to take notes on, those are set up for you to do that as well. I was thinking the other day about the concept of generosity. And like, generosity is something that I think everyone wants to do, and we know that we're called to do. But the question is, like, why should we be generous? Because everyone thinks about generosity, and everyone wants to be generous. But sometimes I think we can try to do generous things without actually understanding why are we being generous in the first place? Why have we been called to be generous? And so I think that is a question that the Apostle Paul is going to answer in our passage for us today. He's not just going to show us examples of generosity, but he's also going to remind us of why, even to begin with, are we called to be generous. So if you would stand with me as we read Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 20. Hear the word of the Lord. I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned for me, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Amen. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. I have received full payment, and I have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Verse 10 is now the ninth time in our study of Philippians that Paul has mentioned rejoicing in the Lord. So far in our study, we've seen him rejoice in the Lord because of his chains and because of his friends and because of his acquaintance with them. And so by saying it once again, by saying it for the ninth time in this short letter as we start today, Paul is reminding us of the main point of the entire letter to the Philippians. Our joy is found in no one and no thing other than Jesus. Let me say that again. The main point of this entire letter, our joy is found in no one and no thing other than Jesus. And this time, if you look at how he starts off, he's rejoicing because his friends have renewed their concern for him. So what does he mean by that? That they renewed their concern for him? Well, by way of a little background, it's important to keep in mind that Paul was a traveling missionary. And missionaries, similar to today, missionaries during this time depended on the financial support of others. And so Paul doesn't give us like exact dates and details, but at some point in the past, the Philippians had supported Paul as a missionary. They'd sent him money or a gift. We don't know exactly what it was, but they had contributed to him as a missionary somehow. And then, for whatever reason, they had to stop supporting him. Again, we don't have the details. We don't know if they ran out of money or if they didn't have anyone to actually deliver the package or if the care package couldn't be delivered. We don't know. All we know is that they were supporting him, then they stopped supporting him for a period of time. But now they've renewed their concern for him. They've started back giving to him. So that's sort of a quick summary of what's happened between Paul and his friends in Philippi. But pay attention to what Paul tells them near the end of verse 10. Look at near the end of verse 10. He says that he knows they were concerned for him all along. They just didn't have an opportunity to show it. He's referring to that period of time when they stopped giving. So Paul is letting them know, listen, hey, I know that you were thinking of me this whole time. It's just that maybe due to unforeseen circumstances that were maybe outside of your control, you didn't have a chance to send your gift. Your heart was in the right place. You just didn't have the actual chance to give. And so as we look at this, church, I don't want us to rush past what's going on here, because I think verse 10 alone is rich with encouragement and like motivation for us when you look at it both from Paul's perspective and the Philippians' perspective, verse 10 alone. So when you look at this verse from Paul's perspective, I think what's happening to him reminds us of the sustaining power of Jesus. Think about the series of events that have happened up to this point. They gave to Paul. They were giving to Paul. Then they stopped. But despite that, God still provided everything Paul needed. All of his physical needs were met. All of his financial needs were met. All of his spiritual needs were met. All of his needs as a missionary were met. The Philippians weren't able to give their gift, but them not being able to give their gift didn't stop God from taking care of Paul, even to the point of sustaining him while he was in prison. So what does this show us? Well, first, I think it shows us that God isn't limited by human limitations. I'll say that again. God isn't limited by human limitations. Again, we don't know what caused the Philippians to stop giving to Paul, but I don't think that's the point. I think the point is, whatever happened on their end, it didn't stop God from being God. Paul still had all of his needs met, despite a season where his friends were not able to come through for him. And I think this is critical. I think this is key for us to remember. Human problems don't interfere with God's providence. He can always, and he always will, take care of you even when people can't. He always sees you even when people don't. The problems you and I face don't hinder his goodness, and they don't stop God from making a way out of no way. He's not limited like we are. So your spouse may be limited in what they can do for you, but God is not limited. Your friends may be limited in what they can do for you, but God is not limited. Your family may be limited in what they can do for you, but God is not limited. Your BFF may be limited in what they can do for you, but God is never limited. So when problems or struggles or issues or setbacks or trials come your way, let them serve as a reminder that you are limited in what you can do. Other people are limited in what they can do, but God is not limited by the things that limit you. And then what do? You trust that God will do just like he did for Paul, and he will give you everything you need. Everything you need. This is why we have to remember, hear me on this. We have to remember that our dependency is not found in other people or in ourselves. Our dependency is in God. Our dependency is on God, because there may be a time where people will not be able to come through for you. Something may happen and they can't do things for you. But ultimately, we don't depend on people. We depend on God. And when we do that, it then leads us to remember that God and God alone is our provider and our sustainer. He's your provider and he's your sustainer. Why is this important to keep in mind? Well, I think this is something else that verse 10 shows us here. Just like what happened to Paul with the Philippians giving, you can lose things at any moment. Let me say that again. You can lose things at any moment. Things we depend on can disappear. Your income can stop coming in at any moment. The money you saved can dwindle at any moment. Your health can take a turn for the worse at any moment. Those you thought were friends can disappear at any moment. Your brand new car can be totaled at any moment. I'm not saying this to scare us. I'm just trying to remind us that the things of this world can be here one day and gone the next. But here's the good news. None of those things can stop the goodness of God from flowing into your life. He can sustain you and he can provide for you in ways that you never imagined. Why? Because he is Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide. You may lose things, but you will never lose the goodness of God. That's what Paul experienced, and that's what you and I can experience. So that shows us that in verse 10. But I think this verse also shows us a second thing. And the more I studied this passage this week, the more this became clear to me as I looked at verse 10. I think we also need to look at this verse from the perspective of the Philippians. So remember our context, remember our background here. They were giving to Paul. Then they didn't have an opportunity to give. Then what happens when the opportunity presented itself again? What do? They renewed their concern for Paul. They started giving again. He says they renewed their concern. And it's interesting that in this letter, Paul uses that word renew. Circle that word, underline, highlight that word renew. And he uses that word intentionally. During this time, that word renew was a gardening term. And it carried the sense of a plant that sprouted or bloomed once again. So the image Paul is getting at here is the renewal of something that took place in the past. The bringing back of something to life once again. It was there, then it went away, and now it's blooming again. It's coming back again. It's sprouting again, doing something again. So by them renewing their concern for Paul, I think this shows us something about biblical generosity that's important to sometimes think about. God wants us to always be generous. He's called us to be generous. But sometimes within that, he's also calling us to renew our generosity, to start being generous again like we did in the past. So we have to ask ourselves, is there an area of your life, of my life, that God is calling me or calling us to renew my generosity? I do. I, as I read this, I think it says a lot about the Philippian church that they renewed their generosity when the chance presented itself again. And so maybe like the Philippians, there's an area of your life where you were being generous and for whatever reason, you stopped for a while. But now the opportunity presents itself again to be generous. And so I thought about a few examples here. Maybe times were tight for a while, but now your income has increased and you make more than you did a year ago or 5 years ago or 10 years ago. And now you can be generous to others through the increase that you have. Maybe there's an organization or a missionary you want supported and you stopped for whatever reason. And now God is calling you to renew your generosity. But it doesn't, like generosity and renewing your generosity doesn't have to be just money. Maybe in the past you had a very time demanding job. But now you have more flexibility and you can start be more generous with your time. Maybe God has blessed you with larger space or a bigger home and now you can be more generous and invite people over for fellowship. Maybe in the past, like when the kids were really little, you had to really invest time with them. But now that they're older, God has given you more time and you can renew your generosity in other people like that. Whatever it is, the key is to be like the Philippians and think about ways you can renew your generosity, however God is calling you to do that. So I thought about our church. And I want to mention specifically one way that I've seen someone renew their generosity. We all know Wyatt Brooks. So Wyatt was serving on the AV team for a while. And then when they had little Petra, he stepped away for a season. He stepped away to really help, with Petra. And then now that Petra is older, Wyatt has renewed his generosity. He's rejoined the AV team. I think that's a very practical way of someone giving, being generous, stepping away for a season, and then renewing their generosity. So in what ways might God be calling you to renew your generosity? In what ways are you in a new season? The opportunity has now presented itself. So I think we see all of this from verse 10. And then I like what Paul does next. He continues talking about generosity, but he does it from the angle of contentment. From the angle of contentment. And I have to admit, while I was reading this week, I kept trying to separate these two. I kept trying to separate contentment and generosity. But the more I read this, the more I realized Paul isn't separating the two. He's not separating contentment and generosity. He's actually drawing a link between the two. And he does it by drawing a line between our contentment being based on the generosity of God. Look what he says here. For I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. So notice the flow of Paul's argument here. He essentially tells us he's learned to be content whatever life brings. Whatever happens, he's learned to be content in that. But then he doesn't leave us hanging. He gives us examples of situations where he's had to be content, where he's learned to be content. He says there's been times where he's been in need and there's been times where he's had plenty. He's talking about his physical needs there. There's times where he's been well-fed and times where he's been hungry. Literally, he's talking about the food that he has to eat. Times where he's had a lot and times where he didn't have much to his name. And going through those times has taught him how to be content. But then he tells us the secret of his contentment. And it's not found in him. It's not found in his own wisdom. It's not found in his own strength. It's found in the strength God gives him, in the strength that Jesus gives him. So Jesus gives him the strength to be content. But how did Jesus build that strength in him? How exactly did Jesus do that? Well, it's when Paul saw Jesus be generous to him over and over and over again in those situations where he had plenty and he didn't have much. Well, how was Jesus generous to him in those situations? Well, when he had a lot, that was Jesus being generous because Jesus gave him a lot. But when he didn't have a lot, Jesus was generous in that he still met Paul's needs. When Paul had a lot of money, that was Jesus being generous. When Paul didn't have any money, Jesus still sustained him. And that was Jesus being generous. When Paul had a place to stay, that was Jesus being generous. When he didn't have a place to stay, God still provided for him, so he was still being generous. So Paul has seen the sustaining generosity of Jesus over and over and over again, no matter what he faced. And because of that, it led him to be content in Jesus, no matter what he faced, because he knew that no matter what he faced, Jesus would be generous. So for Paul, his contentment was based on the generosity of Jesus. So what Paul is showing us here is the generosity of Jesus doesn't just show up when times are good. Let me say that again. This is key for us to understand. The generosity of Jesus doesn't just show up when times are good. It's also there when times are tough. Like when life is hard, that doesn't mean Jesus is not being generous. You still can see the generosity of Jesus when life is hard. Why? Because he's sustaining you and he's keeping you. Just because life is hard doesn't mean Jesus is not being generous. In fact, when life is hard, you can see even more the generosity of Jesus because he's not letting you drown by what you're going through. So if life is good, that's Jesus being generous. If life is bad, that's still Jesus being generous. No pun intended here, but I know that I'm preaching to the choir for some of you because you've seen Jesus be generous to you in times when you had a lot. And then at times when you had a little, and seasons of plenty and seasons of want, and because he's provided for you every time, just like Paul, you've learned the secret of being content. And as you know, you can be content because Jesus is generous. And so I would say the same thing that Paul went through is true for us today. Our contentment stems from remembering the generosity of Jesus. No matter what comes your way, no matter where you find yourself, no matter what life throws your way, you can be content because you know that Jesus will be generous to you, whether you have a little or whether you have a lot. Amen? So because we know Jesus is generous, what can we do? We can then take it to the next step. We can model our lives after that, and we can be generous. And then Paul spends the next few verses reminding them of their generosity. And he tells them specific ways that they've been generous. And I think he does this for a reason. And it's found near the end of our passage today, right there in verse 19. Look what he says. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. So I think Paul puts that here for a reason. And here's why. Being generous isn't always easy. It's not always easy to have a heart that wants to give to others. In fact, I would say being generous does not come naturally to us. Instead, what comes naturally to us? Well, wanting to hold on to what I have, wanting what I believe is mine, looking out for me, what I've worked hard for, this is me, what I think I deserve. Those selfish thoughts come naturally to us. But we have to understand the pressures and the temptations that we face today to live this way and to think this way. The Philippians faced those same pressures during their day. They also wanted to make sure they had enough for themselves and had enough to feed their families and to support themselves and to make sure they could make it through another day. So the pressure to not be generous existed back then just like it does today. Which is why Paul tells them, God will meet all of your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. So he's reminding them that they can continue to be generous. Why? Because God will take care of them. He'll meet all of their needs. And because of that, they didn't have to worry about how all of their needs would be met. They could give freely, trusting that God would provide for them. So when you look at it this way, being generous is more than just a matter of giving. It's a matter of trust. It's not just a matter of giving, it's a matter of trust. Do you trust that God will provide for you? Do you trust him enough that he'll provide your needs so that you can give, so that you can be open-handed, you can live open-handed? Now, we do have to be good students of the word. Look again at this verse. Read this verse closely. God doesn't promise to give us everything we want. I'm going to say that again. He doesn't promise to give us everything we want. There's a difference between your wants and your needs. I know we don't like to hear that. I don't like to hear that, but there's a difference between our wants and our needs. God never promised to give you everything you want, but he does promise to give you everything you need. So make sure you are trusting God with your needs, not just your wants, your needs. Then I thought about this. There will always be a reason to not be generous. If you look hard enough, you can always, always, always find a reason to not be generous. Maybe you think, okay, I don't have enough time, I don't have enough money, or I don't have enough this, I don't have enough that. If you search hard enough, you can always find some reason to not be generous. But if we trust God that he will provide for our needs, it helps us to live life with open hands. And we can stop making excuses, and then we can start doing what God has called us to do. And I do want to qualify this. This does not mean that we go and start being irresponsible with our time, with our money. We still want to be prayerful, and we still want to be discerning. But what it does mean is that when we place what we have in the hands of God, we can be generous, and we do that knowing that we serve a powerful God and knowing that he will give us everything we need. So Antioch, I would say, keep being generous, keep being generous, keep being generous. And when we see him be generous to us over and over and over again in our lives, even when times are hard, then we can do like Paul said at the very beginning, and we can rejoice greatly in the Lord. Amen? Amen? Amen. Well, Father, we thank you. Thank you that you are so generous to us. You give us everything we need. God, these verses remind us that there will be times when people cannot come through for us, as the Philippians had to stop giving for a certain time. But you provided everything Paul needed, and that shows us that you are not limited by what limits us. You are sovereign. You are unlimited. Help us to rely on that, Jesus. Help us to remember that our dependency is in you. It's not in the things of this world, because the things of this world can be here today and gone tomorrow. But even when that happens, we rely on you, and we can be content based on your generosity. Paul showed us there were times where he had a lot and had a little, but even through that, you sustained him, and you sustain us, Jesus. So God, we want to be people who live life with open hands. Show us maybe where there's areas where we can renew our generosity, where at some point we were being generous, and then for whatever reason, we stopped. And like the Philippians church, we want to renew our generosity. We want to bloom it again. We want to bring it back. Show us areas where to do that, not just with our money, but with our time, with our resources, with our talents, with our skills. We want to be people who are generous because you are generous. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your sustaining power. Help us to live a life of contentment in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.